This segment is brought to you by Sector Spider ETFs. Visit them on the web at sectorspiders.com or call 866-SECTOR-ETF.
You're listening to the Index Investing Show. This is America's only weekly program focused on the important stock and bond indexes and the financial products that track them.
And now presenting your host,
Ron DeLegge.
All right. Welcome to the show. Great to have you with us. Coming up on today's program, we'll be talking about the three telltale signs of a disorderly portfolio. Want to share that with you. Also coming up, my program guest Dan Dolan will be joining us. We'll be talking sector investing. He is the director of wealth management strategies at the Select Sector Spider ETFs. And they are nine ETFs that divide the S&P 500 into the nine industry sectors that make up the broader S&P 500. So we'll be talking with Dan on today's show about what's going on sector-wise in terms of performance and some strategies that you can employ with the Sector Spider ETFs. If you'd like to join us, we're here. If you want to talk about a particular stock, mutual fund, ETF, investment strategy, or your investment portfolio, the number 844-305-7800. Again, that number 844-305-7800. You can also tweet the show live at Index Show is my Twitter handle, and we will get to you when you call or tweet or email. Do give us your first name along with your city, as well as your ticker symbols. Now, taking a look at the latest happenings in financial markets, the U.S. equity market finished slightly higher this past week. And one of the big stories that's been kind of unfolding in financial markets has been the recent rising interest rate climate. Over the past month, we've been seeing interest rates climbing, edging higher, and this has really had an adverse impact on some of those long-term bonds. We've seen here the long-term U.S. Treasury ETF attracts U.S. Treasuries with maturities longer than 20 years, ticker symbol TLT, over the past month has slid almost 7% in value, which is a pretty big move. At the opposite spectrum of that, we've seen a very nice upward swing in some of those inverse performing ETFs that are designed to increase in value when bond prices fall. Ticker symbol TMV over the past month alone has jumped over 21%. Again, that ticker symbol TMV, that particular ETF aims for triple daily opposite performance to long-term U.S. Treasuries. That's been a very hot performing area. And I think if this trend of higher rates establishes itself further and accelerates, then this could be another area that begins to really just blossom. So it's still early in the game. We can't really say for sure that this trend is an established trend and that it will continue, but these are the very early stages of what could be, and I know a lot of people have been waiting for this for a long time. This could be the very early stages of a cycle change in the interest rate market, with the cycle of rates heading up and bond prices heading down. Remember, that's an inverse relationship. We will get into this more a little bit later. I've got an email question from a listener about long-term bonds versus short-term bonds, so stay tuned for that. 844-305-7800 is the number. You're listening to the Index Investing Show. I'm your host, Ron DeLegge. I am here. I've been reading my a couple of books. One of them that I've been really enjoying as of late is one about Sir John Templeton, one of the greatest investors of our era. And he was an incredible investor, especially when it came to investing internationally. And some of the things that he said, I'm going to share with you on today's show, because regardless of whether you're an index investor or a stock picker or a trader, he's just got some brilliant, brilliant ideas. And I think all of us can benefit from what Sir John Templeton had to say. I'm going to share with you right now just a couple of things that he had to say. First thing is, if you buy the same securities as other people, you will have the same results as other people. Isn't that just so brilliantly simple but true? If you buy the same securities as other people, you will have the same results as the other people. Here's another one from Sir John Templeton. Too many investors focus on outlook and trend. Therefore, more profit is made by focusing on value. That's an interesting one. How about this one? The time to sell an asset is when you have found a much better bargain to replace it. That's another good rule of thumb. In the long run, the stock market indexes fluctuate around the long-term upward trend of earnings per share. That's another excellent maxim. And these are just ideas, again, that we can all learn from and apply in our investment strategies. Words of wisdom from Sir John Templeton. Now, I want to get you caught up on what's happening real time in financial markets. And we do this every week on the show to give you perspective. Also, it serves to help you understand how financial markets are performing so that you can see what your own portfolio is doing. Because I give you these numbers, and they are year-to-date numbers, meaning they are since the beginning of the year, so that you can see how your own portfolio is performing versus these benchmarks. I mean, that's the whole point. It's not to kill time and it's not to fill up airspace. If your portfolio cannot even keep up with what's happening in major financial markets, if you're lagging or if you're losing money, then that's problematic. And it's especially problematic because right now financial markets this year and over the past several years have been quite cooperative. So think about this. If your money, if your investments can't even perform up to par during a favorable market like now, do you think all of a sudden when financial markets begin to get rocky and are uncooperative, do you think all of a sudden that your investments are going to be able to miraculously begin outperforming or blowing the pants off everything? Now, I don't think that's a very reasonable logic or line of reasoning or thinking at all. Yet, that's the situation some of us find ourselves in. So, what you need to do is go on a seek and destroy mission, find out what's going on with your portfolio, identify the problem, go on a seek and destroy mission and destroy, assassinate whatever it is, whether it's the asset mix or whether it's a specific fund or a specific stock or a specific something that's holding you back from reaching success and from staying on par with the major market indexes, destroy that element that is holding you back, whatever that is. But I know for many of you, just identifying what's wrong is a very difficult task. So here's what you're going to do. You're going to go to PortfolioReportCard.com, and I will help you with this. PortfolioReportCard.com, I will diagnose your investment portfolio in five key areas, and I will tell you exactly what's happening with your money in terms of cost of that portfolio, the risk of that portfolio, the diversification of that portfolio, the tax efficiency of that portfolio, and then the performance of that portfolio. And I will give you a final grade of A, B, C, D, or F. Find out if you pass or fail. And by the way, if you get an A, I pay you $100. I'm Ron DeLegge. This is the Index Investing Show. More when I come back.
Show with Lon DeLegge.
All right. You're listening to the Index Investing Show. I'm your host, Ron DeLegge. If you'd like to join us, we're here. You want to talk about a particular stock, mutual fund, ETF, investing strategy, 844-305-7800. Again, 844-305-7800. Do give us your first name along with your city. You can also follow us on Twitter and tweet the program at Index Show. If you want to get your portfolio analyzed and graded by me, I will do that. Just go to portfolioreportcard.com, and I will tell you if your portfolio passes or fails, and you will know very clearly what's going on with your investments. A, B, C, D, or F, those are the five possibilities. Actually, there's a sixth possibility. And the sixth possibility is incomplete grade. An incomplete grade is when you don't even follow through. You make the request for a report card, and then the portfolio data that I need in order to analyze and grade your portfolio never gets sent to me. So what ends up happening is you get an incomplete grade. It's comparable to being in school and receiving a homework assignment and basically not even following through on that homework assignment, just blowing it off. That's an incomplete grade. And so those of you that just blow it off, well, that's what you get. You get an incomplete grade. So this is the context of what the report card is all about. Now, as I was saying earlier, one of the things that we do on this show is to give you what the latest financial markets are up to and doing. Now, I want to bring you up to speed quickly here. Total U.S. stock market since the beginning of the year, and as I read off these numbers, look, see, and compare your own portfolio versus some of these yardsticks, and if you're keeping up or matching these yardsticks, well, then I'd say there's a good chance your portfolio is probably on track. Now, not 100% sure, because obviously performance is only one aspect of the overall equation. There's your tax liabilities, the cost of your portfolio, the risk of it, diversification. I mean, those are other factors impacting your performance. So we can't just take performance and separate it and pretend these other things don't exist. Now, total U.S. stock market, ticker symbol VTI, ahead by just over 4% since the beginning of the year. Bulls continue to lead the way. In terms of bonds, ticker symbol BND tracks the total U.S. bond market up 0.75%. And we're going to get into a question, an email question about long-term bonds versus short-term bonds. International stocks, ticker symbol VEA, ahead by 12.5% since the beginning of the year. Same type of hot performance for emerging market stocks, VWO, ahead by 11%. And my goodness, take a look at, you want to talk about some of the best performing ETFs this year are some of those single country leveraged funds. The one that focuses on Russian stocks, probably the most hated securities on the planet, along with Venezuela bonds. RUSL tracks Russian stocks since the beginning of this year. RUSL ahead by 126%. Blazing Saddles. Ticker symbol YINN tracks Chinese stocks ahead by 66%. That aims for triple daily leverage to Chinese stocks. And then JPNL does that same triple daily performance to Japanese stocks ahead by 54%. JPNL. So those three ETFs tracking Russian, Chinese, and Japanese stocks all performing very strongly. And a couple of last areas, global real estate, REET, ahead by just over 2%. And then gold, ticker symbol GLD, ahead by 3.5%. And we'll get you caught up also on what some of those S&P 500 industry sectors are up to. We're going to have Dan Dolan, who is with the Select Sector Spider ETF, joining us in a couple of minutes. You won't want to miss that interview. We're going to be talking about some strategies that you can use in your own portfolio with these sector ETFs. So stay tuned for that. Now let me read an email from a listener named Steve. Dear Ron, when interest rates rise, wouldn't it be safer and bigger profits to short the 1 to 3 year bonds? Signed, Steve. So 1 to 3 year bonds refer to short-term bonds. These are bonds with shorter durations or maturities. And when Steve says short, basically what he's saying is he's trying to make a profit when the value of these 1 to 3 year bonds falls in price. That's what it means to short. So when something is falling in price, you're betting basically the opposite of that, and that opposite bet is going to hopefully result in a profit when something falls in price. So the question then becomes is what type of bonds have the most are most sensitive to any increases in interest rates? Well, here's a good rule of thumb when it comes to duration and prices. For every 1% increase in interest rates, a bond's price will change approximately 1% in the opposite direction for every year of duration. Okay? Now, that would mean that longer-term bonds are more sensitive to increases or spikes in interest rates. And so that would also mean that there are bigger profits for those that short long-term bonds if interest rates start to head up, just because, again, those longer-term bonds are the most impacted, they're the most sensitive to any rise in interest rates. And so this is what you need to understand. It's actually quite the opposite, as Steve has explained here. It's actually the shorter-term bonds are the least sensitive to fluctuations in interest rates up or down. So that's why you, and we've seen this in terms of performance. I touched on this a little bit earlier with the TLT ETF. That's the ticker symbol, TLT, which tracks long-term U.S. Treasuries, down about 7% over the past month alone. That's a pretty big move. And the reason that it's gone down so much is because we've seen an increase in interest rates. Now, if we look at the performance of shorter-term bonds over that same time frame, SHY, it tracks 1 to 3 year U.S. Treasuries. SHY is pretty much flat over the same one-month period, whereas U.S. Treasuries with longer durations of 20 years have fallen 7%. So this is the dynamic. This is if you're going to want to short bonds in a rising interest rate environment, well, you're going to want to focus on those long-term bonds. That's the one. Those are the ones that are going to fall the hardest. So if you'd like to send me an email question, comment, or observation, you can do that. Send it to me at ron@indexshow.com. Again, ron@indexshow.com. Be sure to put your first name along with your city. And if you ever, for whatever reason, are unable to catch our regular radio broadcast, you can pick up our podcast. It's available on iTunes as well as SoundCloud Radio. Just search for us. Look under the Index Investing Show and you will find us. And if you can, also please give our show a review so that others can hear your views about our program and also that others can find us. So what are the S&P 500 industry sectors doing? Well, we're going to get you caught up on that coming up next. Also, three telltale signs of a disorderly portfolio. I'm going to tell you what those are. I'm Ron DeLegge and I'll be right back. Go nowhere.
Investing Show with Ron DeLegge. Are you frustrated with how your investments never seem to grow? Do you feel like your investment plan might be off track? Are you concerned about your portfolio's fees, taxes, and risk? If you answered yes to any of these questions, you're not alone. Get the help you need with Ron DeLegge's free portfolio report card. Get a snapshot of your current investments and find out if your financial plan is really on track. Go to ETFguide.com and click on Ron's portfolio report card. Millions of people are investing blindly in the stock market. Don't be one of them. Ron DeLegge's free portfolio report card tells you everything you need to know about your portfolio's fees, taxes, and risk. Go to ETFguide.com and click on Ron's portfolio report card. Traditional IRA, Roth IRA, 401k plan, or brokerage account. It doesn't matter what you have. Ron's free portfolio report card will tell you everything you need to know. Go to ETFguide.com and click on Ron's portfolio report card. Don't invest without it.
Sector Spider ETFs divide the S&P 500 into 9 industry sectors, and there's a lot going on here. Go to sectorspider.com to learn more. Today, we're pleased to have with us Dan Dolan, Director of Wealth Management Strategies at Sector Spiders. Dan, great to have you back on the show.
Thank you, Ron. Always a pleasure.
Let's begin with yield income, which is something that investors nearing or at retirement are relying on. Yet, in comparing the yield income from bonds versus stocks today, there's some real stark differences between the two. Tell us more.
Well, obviously, with the two different instruments, with a bond, you have a set maturity, a set coupon. With a stock, you have a dividend that's paid out, and the anticipation that dividend continues. The other piece of the dividend is that it may increase over time, unlike a bond. So when you buy a bond, you know exactly what you're getting over time, when it's going to mature. With equity, there is a set dividend that exists today. You expect that to continue. You have to do your homework, make sure that that's in good shape. But when you look at the environment today, searching for income is tougher and tougher to find. So you look at a 10-year treasury at just over 2%. You look at long munis at maybe 3%. And then on the equity side, you know, you may get just under 2% in the S&P 500 yield, but there you do have the potential of dividend increases over time, which we've seen 3 to 4% a year of dividend increases. So you have a current stream of income, and the expectation, if all goes well, that that could increase. Obviously, it could decrease, too, if someone was to cut the dividends. But when searching for yield today, it makes some sense not only look at the fixed income side, but look at equities as well.
Now, during the first quarter, the energy sector, ticker symbol XLE, experienced its largest decline in expected earnings, around a 50% cut, according to FactSet. And that was the largest going back to 2002 when they first began tracking this data. Fast forward to right now, energy sectors reported the highest earnings surprise percentage to date of all S&P 500 sectors. It appears that the death of oil was greatly exaggerated. How do you see it?
I think you're right. I think if you look at the energy sector in general, it is driven by the price of oil. So when oil corrected like it did in the past, 12 months or so, the energy stocks were hit, earnings were hit. If you look at the last 12 months, the energy sector is down about 15%. But guess what? We still use oil. We still use a lot of oil, and the price is bouncing back. So if you look at the energy sector today, it's up about 1.5%, 2% year-to-date, kind of consistent with the market. And I think when you look at energy and you look at the state of the oil market, we're going to continue to use these products. We're going to use it over and over and over again. And is it really something that you're going to, you stop using over time because the price goes, so much higher? I don't think so. So I think having a little bit of energy in one's portfolio, looking at the earnings that and the leverage that the price of oil provides to those stocks, as oil rebounds, these companies get much more efficient and more profitable. And I think you're going to continue to see that.
Dan Dolan with the Select Sector Spider ETFs joining us. SectorSpider.com is the website. Go there. A lot of good information and research about some of the holdings within the 9 S&P or Spider S&P 500 ETFs. Again, they divide the S&P 500 into 9 sectors. Let's talk next about healthcare. This has been a great performing sector. Now, the total value of healthcare acquisitions reached almost $100 billion during the first 3 months of 2015, making healthcare easily the most active sector by mergers and acquisitions activity. You've got Amgen, Pfizer, Johnson & Johnson, just a few of the companies that have been active buyers. What kind of impact is this, all this M&A activity having on the healthcare spider ETF, ticker symbol XLV?
It's all very positive. If you look at the healthcare sector, over the, you know, year to date is the best performing sector. You look at healthcare 1 year, it's the best performing sector. You look at healthcare over 5 years, it's the best performing sector. Not only is it M&A activity, but it's just pure demographics. And you look at the aging population and what people do with their money, and regardless of economic activity, you're going to spend money on your healthcare. And that's what we're seeing. So the M&A does nothing but further fuel the growth of the stock prices in the sector, and we continue to see just outstanding outperformance by the healthcare sector, and I think it continues.
And I think, too, yeah, it's great points that you make. It's also good, too, because some of these companies are having synergies and perhaps some cost savings, so I guess in the long run, too, that'll be good from a corporate management perspective.
I think that that's right, and then also what you're seeing there are some of these smaller biotech companies and things like that, so some of the big pharmaceutical companies are looking to ways to continue to grow, and they're buying up some of these smaller companies that have high growth potential in some of their products that are introduced currently or to be introduced in the near future.
Dan Dolan with the Select Sector Spider ETFs joining us. Now, many dividend investors will make the mistake of buying whatever funds or whatever stocks have the highest historical yield. Why is that a problem, and what should dividend investors really be focused on instead?
You know, I think that the term dividend investing is interesting. And I think it gets caught up in the fixed income world that we talked about a little bit earlier. But when you're investing in dividend flow in the equity market, it's really about total return. It's not about just the dividend. So is the dividend sustainable? Can it grow from here? What do the earnings look like in the company? So again, when you're talking about dividend income off of equities, you have to look at the bigger picture and look at the total return potential of that security that you're looking to buy. So if the, you know, dividend's adding 2, 3, 4%, will the stock continue to appreciate and you get total return of, you know, 9, 10% or something like that? So the dividend's just a piece, an important piece that we're all looking for, but you have to take a look under the hood a little bit more and make sure the total return picture is positive.
You've also talked about in the past focusing on the sustainability of the dividend and also the future potential growth of that dividend and not so much looking at the back or what happened in the past. You know, just emphasize that point again because I think it's so important.
It's absolutely critical. I mean, you're looking at, again, the marketplace knows where it is today, right? So all the information in terms of what the stock price is, what the dividend is today, where you're going to get growth is where is it going to be tomorrow? And what will that dividend be tomorrow? And is the company financially stable enough to maintain that dividend? And ideally, are they strong enough to increase that dividend? So people will pay more for a higher dividend stream going forward than they will pay for something that's declining. So where it is today is known. What we have to figure out is it going to get stronger? Will we get more income in the future? And not only will that benefit the investor, but the share price should increase as well if that continues to happen.
Customizing your market exposure to the S&P 500 is something that you simply cannot do when you buy an S&P 500 index fund. And that's where the Sector Spider ETFs come in, because they give you that sort of flexibility, being able to pick and choose which sectors that you want to invest in. Talk about that.
Yes. What we simply do is divide the S&P 500 pieces. So we give investors the ability to own the portions of the S&P 500 they want and leave out what they don't want. In addition, if you want to customize the S&P 500, if you're a growth investor that you want to overweight, say, technology, consumer discretionaries, and things like that, typical growth sectors of the market, you have the ability to do that by owning the pieces. If you're an income investor, you want to overweight utilities, and tech and telecom comes together. Telecom is a high-yielding sector in there. That you have the ability to customize the S&P 500 to meet your own objective and really take it and put it together the way you want it. And then again, if you just want to buy one sector or two, if you want to own, you know, utilities for the income potential of utilities, you have the ability to own the 33 S&P 500 components in one security and get the income benefits of that. So what we do is simply give you the choice to take what you like and leave behind what you don't.
Utilities, XLU, by the way, is the ticker symbol on that one. One final thing before you take off. The bid-ask spread is a real cost that ETF investors pay whenever they trade, but high-volume funds like the Select Sector Spider ETFs are able to mitigate some of those costs of bid-ask spreads. Tell us more.
Ideally, you want to buy and sell securities that trade a lot. It's that simple, because when they trade a lot, you have very tight spreads between the bid and the offer where people are looking to sell the price. So the sector spiders, all nine of them trade with penny-wide spreads. And that's because the institutional investors and retail investors trade them. So you're able to get in and buy the security a penny higher than it, where you would sell the security. So that's the difference between the bid and the offer, where someone will buy it, where someone will sell it. The tighter those spreads, the more efficient it is to get in and get out. So if you're trading illiquid securities, those spreads may be, you know, 5, 10, 15 cents wide, where when you have very tight spreads, you have securities that are traded by the institutional investors in addition to individual investors, those spreads tend to tighten up and it reduces the cost for you to get in and get out of the security. It's a big benefit.
Well, great points. Thanks for sharing that with us, Dan, and taking the time to share these ideas. Again, you just heard from Dan Dolan of the Select Sector Spider ETFs. Go to sectorspider.com. I'm Ron DeLegge, and I'll be right back after this short break.
The Index Investing Show with Ron DeLegge.
All right, we're coming off a nice interview there with Dan Dolan of the Select Sector Spider ETFs. And as we mentioned and discussed in that interview, healthcare stocks have been a top performer since the beginning of the year. XLV, which tracks S&P 500 healthcare stocks, ahead by almost 9%, which is just incredible. This particular sector and ETF, XLV, contains companies like Amgen and Pfizer and Merck, as well as a whole bunch of other companies involved in that same space of pharmaceutical, medical devices, hospitals. XLV continues to be a great, great performer. And it's not just demographics that's driving that, but we also see some recent mergers and acquisition activity. So that's been lifting stock prices. Some of those smaller biotechs also heating up. So that's been a great area. Also, ticker symbol XLK technology stocks up 6.5% since the beginning of the year. Another bright spot within sectors within the S&P 500. And then one of the laggards, and actually the only sector that is in negative territory on a year-to-date basis, is utilities. Ticker symbol XLU down about 5.4%. And a lot of that has to do with the fact that interest rates over the past several months have been edging higher. And clearly, this particular sector, utilities, is sensitive to that. So that I think, has put a little bit of a damper on the performance of utilities. But in terms of dividends, and we talked about this, that it's important to focus not on just the highest yielding securities or yielding stocks. Investors selecting stocks with high current yield face not only the risk of reduced dividends, but also the greater risk of capital losses. A far wiser method for increasing your income is to select securities with the highest earnings in relation to market price. This will usually mean that your securities have good prospects for paying increased dividends rather than prospects for paying reduced dividends. So this is something that you need to be aware of. Now, before I get into three telltale signs of a disorderly portfolio, I just want to share two more tidbits from Sir John Templeton. I've been reading a book about him, and boy, was he a great investor, especially when it came to investing in international and emerging markets. I mean, he was doing this. He was doing this in the 40s and the 50s, long before it became a popular thing, long before people even really recognized the significance and the potential value of investing in international markets. There's two last things that I think are so key and crucial to any successful investment plan. The first is that it's impossible to produce a superior performance unless you do something different from the majority. And then finally, the time of maximum pessimism is the best time to buy, and the time of maximum optimism is the best time to sell. Isn't that just simple but brilliant? Certainly a lot harder to execute and do than it is to say. But these are things that all of us should be looking at, not just being entertained by, but also applying in our own investment strategies. Now, I've seen a lot of investment portfolios, big and small, ugly and cute, beautiful, elegant, and not so elegant. And I've analyzed and graded over $100 million of investment portfolios from real people just like you, IRAs, 401k plans, family trust accounts, UGMA accounts, all types of accounts. And I've seen a lot. And so I wanted just to kind of emphasize three telltale signs of a disorderly portfolio to help you kind of understand what the attributes are of a disorderly portfolio, because I think it's important. Number one is too many investments located, or too many investment accounts located everywhere. Too many investment accounts located everywhere. What am I talking about? Well, there's nothing wrong with having investment accounts held at different brokerage firms or different financial institutions. It's one way to diversify your assets and risk away from one single entity. But think about it this way. If you have multiple accounts held at multiple firms, and one of them obviously goes belly up, obviously that's going to reduce your risk. But the other problem here that I need you to understand is that being spread out too much all over the place is not good for you, because it becomes very difficult to manage all this money. And I recently graded a taxable investment account. This was for a 45-year-old business owner in New Jersey. And that one account that I analyzed and graded was one of 9 different investment accounts that he held at several different brokerages. Now, this was not a very big account. It was under $1 million. So instead of consolidating some of his investment accounts to make managing them easier, he was haplessly scattered about. So what I'm saying is consolidate some of these accounts. Make it easier for yourself to manage. I mean, this is how portfolios get disorderly, is when you've got your money spread out in too many different areas and it becomes impossible to know what's going on in all these different accounts. It's impossible to manage them in an efficient way. So that's the first sign of a disorderly portfolio. The next sign is building your portfolio on the wrong foundation. Think about it in terms of a structure or a home. A home without a solid foundation won't survive very long. All it takes is a little rain and a little wind, and the structure will easily collapse. Now, many investors have erringly built the foundation or the core of their investment portfolio on the wrong ground, on the wrong foundation. What is the wrong foundation? Non-core asset classes are the wrong foundation. Now, this group of non-core assets includes things like derivatives, currencies, hedge funds, private equity, venture capital, individual stocks, leveraged funds. Now, there's nothing wrong with these types of investments or asset classes, but the point here, and of course, these types of assets are a regular feature in media headlines, but the point here is that they're only supplemental to a person's core portfolio. And the core portfolio or foundation should be built on core asset classes like broadly diversified funds, preferably index funds that track stocks, bonds, commodities, real estate, and then, of course, that final asset class is cash. So build your portfolio on the right foundation. Clearly, portfolios that build on the wrong foundation are disorderly. And finally, the last sign of a disorderly portfolio is seeing only what you want to see. In other words, myopia, known as nearsightedness. It's a disorder of the human eye that causes it only to see whatever objects are close to it. Well, in a similar way, myopic investors, those with disorderly portfolios, are unable to see the big picture of what's really going on with their portfolios. That's because they're too focused on the individual parts or holdings within their accounts. They're so focused on that one stock or that one fund that they're unable to see anything else. I did this with an investor. He wanted me to do a report card for him, and he only wanted me to focus on two of his holdings, Yahoo and General Motors. He didn't want me to examine the entire portfolio. He only wanted me to discuss those two stocks, and it was not a very smart way to look at the overall portfolio and know what's going on by just focusing on two stocks. So this is what you need to avoid. Well, that just does it for another episode of the Index Investing Show. Follow us on Twitter at Index Show and join us again next week, same time and same station.
The opinions expressed in this broadcast are not necessarily that of our advertisers, sponsors, or broadcast partners. The discussion of investing is general and should not be construed as investment advice or an offer to buy or sell securities. Listeners are responsible for their own investment decisions and results. Before investing in mutual funds or ETFs, always consult a prospectus for risk, charges, expenses, and other information. Read the prospectus carefully before investing. Past performance is not indicative of future results. No reproduction or dissemination of the Index Investing Show is permitted without the expressed written consent of its producers.